morning, Jubilee.
Good morning.
All right. Let's, I wanted to, I beginning of the week, I was feeling like the Lord wanted me to share on the faith of living out our life like Jesus. But as the week went on, and as by the end of the week, I couldn't get away from that where we were in our old building. I don't know if you remember, but our lease ended on Thursday, was the last day of our lease in the old building. And I felt the Lord say that what he wanted me to share with everybody, and what I wanted to go over was first, well done. Well done, Jubilee, that we ended well in that season. And so it just, for the last 4 days, all I could see and the things that God kept reminding me of was all that God had been doing in us and through us over the past few months. Now, back in May, right, while sitting in the staff meeting, when we were talking about when it became evident to all of us that we were going to be leaving the 1169 Calle Suerte building, right, it became evident, and in a staff meeting, we were talking about how would we get rid of 37 years worth of stuff. You know, I mean, we'd been in that building 37 years. We've been a church for 41, and 37 years. I don't know about you. I know what my garage looks like of accumulating years and years and years. And we've been in our house 30 years. We've accumulated a lot of stuff, and it all is connected. Some of it's vitally important, you know, some of it is emotionally important, right? Some of it just is there because we haven't spent the time to take care of it or to do something with it, right? And that's what 37 years of being in a church building is like. Some of it's vitally important. We couldn't do without it, right? Some of it was just emotionally important. And some of it's just been there for 37 years, and we've never spent the time, never had to take the time to deal with it. And so in our staff meeting, I remember telling the staff, they were asking, what are we going to do? What about this? And what about that? And what about this thing? And what about the lion? What about the baptism? What about the, you know, PA system and the screens and on and on and on and on. So I remember at the staff meeting, the Lord just prompted me to tell everybody that we were going to get, God was going to put us on a journey until the end of the lease. And in that journey, it was a journey of faith. It was a journey of believing that God was the one who was moving us, right? Which 2.5 months ago, 3 months ago, we were still in the shock that we were having to move, right? And that, what would that look like? We didn't know where we would end up. So we were still in all those places. But it was just a point that God said to me. He said, you're gonna, everything is gonna work out. But he goes, I want you to let everybody know that everything that we have could be given away, it could be sold, or it could be sown. Right? And so I knew that. And right after he had said it, and I told everybody in the staff that God by the Holy Spirit is going to direct us in how to do all this. Right? And I know they all looked at me like I was nuts. Right? How could we get, what? There's too much, there's a lot of stuff, and I don't know if I can move forward without this. Right? And I think we all had that part of us. Part of us were in those places, right? But I just knew that if we would press in and rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us, right? To guide us through it, that we would come out at the end just perfect, and that we would have this, everything would get taken care of. So at first it was kind of, I know for me, I don't know if you don't know me, and like I thrive every 3-4 months to just empty my garage and put it all back in and make sure it all gets back into its place. I like to take it out and I like to bring it in, right? I mean, Deuteronomy says you're blessed when you go out and blessed when you go in. So I want to make sure my stuff, right? Deuteronomy 28. I want to make sure my stuff is blessed. So I take it out and I bring it back in. Now, your stuff might go out. It might not come back in. It might not receive the same blessing. But so when, you know, I remember when Pastor was leaving his house in Camarillo and they were selling it, and Pastor asked me to help him. Pastor had never done a garage sale. I don't think he'd ever been to a garage sale. You know, it's just not. And so Pastor says, well, you do garage sales all the time. And I said, yeah. And I said, would you help me? And so I remember when we started, I had so much fun selling stuff that wasn't mine. You know, and it was so good because, like, we have a rule in our house. If it goes out for the garage sale, whatever leaves the garage doesn't come back in. So you better know what's happening, because we're either going to sell it or we're going to goodwill it. We're going to give it away.
And so, he sells it cheap or free.
Oh yeah, I'm going to. But when it's time to go, it's time to go. It doesn't matter. So I taught this to Pastor, and Pastor, by the end of the garage sale, he was having so much fun selling. He was running back in the house to take stuff that they had, him and Cammie hadn't talked about, to sell. Right? So, but that's the way I think about things, is that when it's time for it to go, then it's time to go. And I'd rather trust God in the process and trust God with it. And that's why I told the staff, is it's our season to sow, right? We know in Ecclesiastes, there's a season to plant, and there's a season to harvest, there's a season to reap, right? And so I felt like the Lord told me that on the last day of July, when our lease was up, we were gonna end the season, right? And that's not some great prophetic gift I have. That's the day the lease was over, right? That's the day we were no longer going to be able to go in and out of our building anymore, in that building. So, but I did feel like the Lord said, no, that's the end of a season of intense sowing, right? And with that, there should be a place that we start to now believe that God's going to take us from a sowing mindset into a reaping mindset. Okay? And so I asked the staff, and I went through, and I want to share with you some of the seeds that were sown, because I want your faith to be built up in this as much as the staff is as we go through this. So this by no means is a complete list. It's the ones that stood out, and some of them stood out. I mean, we gave away over 420 chairs, sanctuary chairs, to three different churches. Two Filipino churches in Oxnard received 100-plus chairs, and the church in Camarillo, Anthem, received 220 chairs. And I remember when Anthem came and they responded to a text and they showed up and they sat in the chairs, right? Now, church, you need to understand, these chairs are great chairs.
Yeah.
Heavy chairs, wonderful chairs, well-padded chairs, wide chairs. They were sitting in old library chairs, right? And the first thing, this lady came in, her name is Alex, I think. Alex, he comes in, and she sits in the chairs, and her whole countenance changed. They had a great joy, and all of a sudden she looked up and she looked at Kevin, who was with her, and said, "Pastor, you don't understand. These chairs don't wobble." I mean, they've been sitting in chairs. Every time you sit them, they go, eh? And you shift your weight, back and forth. And so she was like, she wanted them right now. I said, "Well, we can't give them to you right now because we're still using them in the building." But the church, we were done. All of a sudden, we were done with our conversation with Anthem. And I'm walking them to the door, and Alex just looks at me, and she says, "You don't by chance happen to have any children's choirizers, do you?" Like it was like just a question, just something that God had prompted on her heart. And she looks over and says, "You don't happen to have choirizers, do you?" And I says, "Yeah, like folding choirizers." And she says, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah, of course, we got them in the back." She says, "What are you going to do with them?" I says, "Well, we're not taking them. We're going to give them away." She has been for years teaching their children's ministry to sing as a choir. And they do it on a floor. And so you can't see anybody except the kids in the front row and that. And she had been believing God for years for choirizers. In church, so we sewed our choirizers. Sorry, Val.
I know.
I know, I'm sorry. But we sewed them. Pass it on. Right. There's a new generation of choir singers coming, Val.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We had this lady come, and she was from a program in Ventura. It's called Safe Harbor. And Safe Harbor is a place where kids who are abused go and to get help, right? To go into a safe place in the midst of the abuse, whether it's from parents or family or whatever. But and this lady comes, and she just came because of a post. And she just thought, we have a new office and we have no furniture for it. And she was just coming to look at a bookcase. Needless to say, by the time she was done, we had loaded her up with everything that she needed for her new space. Not for the office, but for the space where the kids get to hang out and get to be at peace in the midst of trauma and upheaval. And then she's just beside herself that she didn't understand. We're wanting it out of the building as much as she wanted it, right? But then we got a chance to pray for her. And we gathered her on and laid hands on her and blessed her and the work that she does for the kids of our county who are in places that maybe we'll never get to be with those kids.
She's a federal agent.
Yeah, she's an agent.
She's a federal agent.
A federal agent. So she just received it. She drank it up. I mean, there were tears running down her face because we took the time from our day to bless her and to bless that minister, that place. Another lady came to pick up some stuff, and she was getting stuff, and someone just asked her in the midst of looking through. Remember when we had all the tables just full of stuff in the family room? Well, that stuff was, it started on Monday. Every Monday we would reload those tables, you know, and people would just show up, and Allie would just graciously grab people by the hand and say, "Well, I know you came for one of these, but let's take you into the back." And people were just blown away by the stuff that was back there and that they needed for. But every time the staff that would bring someone back, whether it was Allie or Sandra or Rosie or Diana, they would, "Can we pray for you? Can we pray for you?" And there wasn't a person that was asked that said no. Every one of them did. And the Holy Spirit showed up every time, and people's lives were changed, coming to get our stuff, right? That we're now sowing into their life and giving away. We had a bunch of children's ministry stuff. We had instruments, drums and tambourines, stuff that most of us would consider just kind of noisy things that we were were good to go away, right? This lady showed up, and her husband teach a local class for instruments and stuff to kids. And she just came for a drum, one of those little hand drums. And Allie showed it to her, this stuff, and she ended up taking every bit of it. And she says, we go when we're not doing this, we're not teaching kids instruments here in this county, we go to Africa and we teach there. And so they were taking all these extra, all the small stuff was gonna go there. So we had, we sewed into to someone who was teaching people in Africa, kids in Africa, the drums and instruments. I mean, preschool teacher came, we had a whole classroom full of beanbag chairs. If you were ever in Heather's classroom, the kids sat on just a, probably had 20 beanbag chairs. Some lady came to, we gave her all 20 of them for her preschool. I mean, she was just blown away, you know, blown away by it. Oh, this is a great one. Allie was back there with this couple who came, they didn't speak any English. And so they came for a bookshelf. I think everybody came for a bookshelf. But they came for, it was a cabinet, like a two-door cabinet. And they came in. And so Allie was, got them and took them in the back. And next thing you know, they had gotten, there was the same day our bread delivery came, so they got fresh bread. And then Rosie took them through and gave them food, canned foods and all this stuff, and said, oh, there's more. And just, and this couple and their two kids, one kid, was just filled their whole car. And that, and then the lady was trying to ask how much for the bookshelf. And so Allie of us, other than Diana, would have been there. Allie didn't know how to say anything more than $10 in Spanish. So she just said $10. And that's what it ended up being, because no one was smart enough to know how to count past 10. So, yeah. Another lady came and went through, her and her daughter went through, and the daughter was a little girl, of course. but just went through those tables and just was picking all kinds of stuff, and the mom kept saying, no, that's too much. And Allie just kept saying, no, please, take some more, right? I want to let you know, Danny, can you raise your hand? Danny's one of our new sound people. And Danny came to get a cabinet, right? Danny came to get a cabinet, a two-door cabinet, came to get the cabinet, got so blessed, got prayer, right? And asked where we were going. And at that point, I think we had an idea, but we didn't know all the details in that. But Danny came our first Sunday, and she went to the Connection Center and got her badge and signed up and said, I'd like to help. I want to be a part. And now Danny, who has history of sound, is now part of our media team. Oh, we did that one already. Oh, do you remember years ago that our youth had all these plastic flamingos? Right? And they would take these flamingos, a flock of flamingos. I think there was like 40 flamingos in that aquarium. Plastic flamingos on stakes. And they would take them in the middle of the night, and they would go take them by night and set them up in your front yard and leave you a note on your door that basically said, if you want the flamingos to leave, you have to give a donation to the youth group. Right? It's better than being toilet papered, but not much, right? So we had all these flamingos from that season of our youth group. And so some lady came to pick up flamingos, and we literally filled her car with flamingos. You couldn't see out the windows or anything. It was just packed full of flamingos. But she was so excited because her and her dad have this kind of, you know, relationship, tit for tat. They kind of go back and forth at each other. And so she was looking forward to going the next night and dropping off all the flamingos in his front yard. So, which I thought was hilarious because that's something I would want to do. I'm like, whose house can I drop these off and never tell them I was there? Sanctuary. The big giant mosaic and the lion went to a messianic congregation. We had reached out when we knew we couldn't take it. We reached out to Beth Emanar, which is a local in Agora. We reached out to Beth Emanar, and they wanted it, but they just don't have a big enough wall for it. And so they said, could we offer it to someone else for you? Because we know this congregation in Los Angeles. It's called Heritage LA. And I said, sure. So they offered it to Heritage LA, and Heritage LA sent up guys and a truck, and they came and took down the lion. So I don't know how long it'll take them to get it all put back up, but I look forward. That's like, if you remember it, it's a giant mosaic glass puzzle that, you know, is going to take some time. But they fell in love with the lion and wanted that in their sanctuary, in their building. So it's been relocated. A family of worshipers who go to Nexus, Calvary Nexus here in town, showed up one day and was asking about, they said, well, we saw your post that you had music stands, that's a music stand, and mic stands and stuff like that, and we'd love to have them, but they were gone. And so they kind of left, and they were kind of, I mean, we tried to give them other stuff, but they didn't want it. But they had gotten a hold of Diana through another posting site and said, oh, we went by and there was nothing there. And so Diana called me up and said, I'm sending her back because there's more stuff. It's just not out where it was. And so we gave part of Nexus Worship Team some music stands and a drum stool for their drummer who had been sitting on a wooden stool. So, you know, that's probably why we got these fancy electric drums, because we sewed into some other drummer who has been sitting on a wooden stool. And that, but it's just, you know, we had so many people from other churches that came. And the first thing out of every conversation was, you guys have been here so long. We can't imagine this community without you here. And I would say, and I would tell them, I'd say, you know what? God's moving us. Because they'd all ask, what happened? Right? And we'd tell them, oh, the lease negotiations didn't work out. Oh, and they'd think just like all of us thought. Oh, what a rotten landlord. What a terrible person. You know, and I'm here to tell you, they're not terrible people. God said it's time to move and knew that most of us wouldn't leave 22,000 square feet of building to move into 2,200 square feet of building. Right? But God had to make a way because he has a reason for us here. I won't go on with any more. I want to share a few scriptures because I think that with all that seed sown, I think it's important that we know that seed is only as valuable as we make the seed. Right? In, you know, it's Ecclesiastes says there's a time and a season for everything. Deuteronomy says you're blessed going out and coming in. So we're blessed. We're blessed because we ended the season at Calle Suerte and we're in a new season, right? Because we've gone out. In John 12, 24, says, most assuredly I say to you, Jubilee, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. And then it says, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. See, there's a principle with seed that when you sow it, it has to die. In other words, scripture says it remains alone. Right? And we know that. If I go to the store, pick up a bag of seeds and put them in my hand, they won't do anything. Right? They have to be sown. They have to be placed into the darkness. They have to be separated from their place of light, and it has to die so that it could produce fruit. And so all of these testimonies, all the seed that we gave away has to die. It has to not be kept, as it were, in that place, in a seed mode, right? So, I wrote down that scripture somewhere. Well, I didn't write it down. Let me check my note here real quick. I don't know. So the thing is that it's Philippians 3. I think it's verse 23. Thank you, Jesus. It's not 23, it's verse 12. And we'll end here. What's that?
You're close.
Yeah, 12, 23. There's a 2. Cut me some slack. None of you have stood up and told me where I was going. Hadn't been for the Holy Spirit, we'd still be standing here. Paul has just given a full understanding of his resume, right? And then he goes on to say that he counts it all things lost for the excellency of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord, whom suffered all the loss of all things and counts them as rubbish. Right? That's the dying part of our seed, is being able to take whatever situation you're in, whatever loss, right? Because, you know, we didn't lose the building. We walked away. We gave it up. It's a seed sown. 37 years in that building. I walked through it the last time. And I wasn't tearful because I wasn't going to be there. I got tearful because I remembered all that God had done there.
Amen.
Every revival, every salvation, every healing, every move of God, every prayer meeting, every child, every VBS, all the mopping of the floors, all the cleaning of it up, all the paint, all the stuff. Because it was all, everything you did in that building was for the glory of God.
Amen.
It wasn't for the building. It was for the glory of God. So as I was walking through, I was like, God, this place gave you glory. These people gave you glory in the midst of all of it. But now it's time for that seed to fall into the ground and to die. So that the next season, that's where we're at right now. In a new season, there can be fruitfulness.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
There's fruitfulness in it. So Philippians goes on in verse 12, and Paul says, not that I've already obtained, not that I've already received that fruit yet, right? That's come from it, not that I've obtained the fruit or that I'm already perfect, not that I don't need the fruit, right? Paul's saying no. He says, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as to have obtained, but this one thing I do, I forget those things that are behind, right? So that I can press forward to that which Christ has for me. It says that's what Christ has laid hold of me, right? So that's where we're at. The old season, all that seed is now in the place that we get to forget it out of what it was, because it's a seed. It's going to change from a seed. It's going to change into fruit by way of a metamorphosis and that. But there is a place now that we have to choose to forget. And I always change this part here to say, we get to forgive that which is behind us. Yesterday, the day before, we get to forgive it so that that seed can then die. All the expectation on this stuff. We all had great expectations and hopes when we, you know, of things. But now we get to have an expectation and the hope of the increase of the multiplication of what God's doing. Right? And so that's the place. We get to let go of the old, let go of the past, so that we can press on, press forward into the new place that God has. And that's not just this place. It's the new place for each of us, because all the seed is Jubilee. All that seed is for all of us. It's not accounted to the corporation or the church of Jubilee. It's an account to those who can believe, like Phil was saying, that there's prosperity coming. And prosperity is not just money. But let's be real, prosperity includes money. It can be both and, right? And it's where your faith is to believe for it. You know, some will say, oh, I don't need any of that. And they say, okay, well, I'll take your portion too. You know, because I'd rather believe that God is fully able to bring Jubilee, which includes me, into a new season.
Amen.
Into a new season. And it's a season of prosperity. And it's a season of what I believe, and I'll end with this, is that there's going to be great, we had great moves of the Spirit in that other building, right? But now I believe that now it's going to be great moves of the Spirit in each of us.
Yeah.
Right? The buildings are contained,
yeah.
Right? In the book of, in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit fell, right, it fell corporately on everybody, but individually on everybody at the same time, right? So it's a corporate blessing and an individual, right? Because that was the wind blew through, everybody spoke in tongues, and tongues of fires on everybody. There was nobody left out. And that's where I believe is what God's doing in this season, in this new season, is that there's going to be, it's going to affect all of us corporately, but individually. And I believe to the manner in which we can sow the seeds of our past. We can't go back to July, the last day of July, and live in the building anymore. In that, we can't concern ourselves. But for me, I look back and I go, God, you did so much in those weeks for us to sow, that to me it's so important that now we as Jubilee would now go, wait, I'm not going to let that seed die and remain alone. I'm going to add the one thing to it that will cause it to bear fruit, and that's faith and believing that Jesus will cause that to grow. You know, the old adage is farmers don't throw seeds into the ground and go back the next morning to dig them up and see if they're growing. Right? They have to trust God that the seed's going to do what it's supposed to do. And so I believe for all this stuff, all that seed, is that now it's our job to commit it into the hands of God, and then to believe by faith for not only Jubilee, the corporate, the whole of us, but also to every individual, that God is going to return blessing into overflow. And it's going to come, and it's going to come in the manner in which we're believing for it to come. Does that make sense?
Yes.
In other words, if you're not pulling on it, then you probably won't get any of it. other than, you know, and I always think of it like a straw in one of those nice big thick milkshakes. You got to do your part to get the milkshake out, right?
That's true.
Yeah. Through a straw, Val. I saw that. Val's cheating. She's using a spoon. Right? So, would you guys stand with me and we'll close? I've kept you already. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for these people. Thank you for this house, this place of jubilee. And Father, I thank you for all the seeds sown. Father, I do thank you for all that happened, all the moves, all the testimonies, all the great things that happened at 1169 Calle Suerte. And I thank you for them, Lord. I'm glad, Father. I am confident that you received glory because of it, because I heard from all the people that came of the effect that Jubilee in that location had on them and their community. So, Father, I thank you. And I thank you for all the seed. Thank you, Lord, that we willingly give it today. Not withheld. We're not wondering why or considering, boy, should we have done that? But, Lord, we're freely giving it. We let it go. Lest the seed falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. So, Father, we want to commit all the seed, every portion of it, to you. We know that it'll die, and there'll be a season of its change, and then it'll come back and be fruitful in a manner that you determine for each seed. So we thank you for it. Father, I thank you for the blessing that's overflowing to this house, in this place, Lord. And I agree with the words that Phil spoke, Father, and that you're doing it. It's by your hand and by your purpose, Lord. So we thank you for it, Lord. Father, I also want to extend that as we forget those things that are behind us, Lord, I want to thank you. I want to forgive, Father, all those places, all those things, maybe all those things that we left, that we couldn't leave. Paul said that the loss, that he counted it all lost that he might know you there. So Jesus, we want to know you in the loss. We want to know you in the giving. We want to know you in the forgiving. We want to know you in the forgetting, Father. And we thank you for it today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.